As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me. As someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings, I need clothes that not only look great, but also feel amazing. And these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince. quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook. I really grew up in a world of not enough. Some of you may have had a similar circumstance, but I grew up with a single mom who raised six kids, five boys and one girl. She's a second grade teacher and packed my dinner in a paper bag when I came home. Had a study in a Country Squire station wagon as she drove around filling up greeting card turnstiles at convenience stores just so we could eat. Sometimes you'll like this, any teachers or relatives of teachers. We were on food stamps in Akron, Ohio for a little bit, and I remember buying food and my mom grabbing pencils for her class because the school wouldn't pay for the pencils. So now not only did we live in this world of not enough, but my mom had an energy of not enough and just completely gave everything to her kids. Fortunately, it paid off. My mom believed, as maybe some of your parents believed, it was doctor, lawyer, or failure. And it was amazing. She believed the fetus wasn't fully developed till after you finished graduate school. People ask why and how my siblings are so successful. They all went to the Ivy Leagues, Harvard, Penn, Columbia, graduated summa cum laude. They're all passionate, purposeful, and profitable people, giving back to their communities the best that they can. Luckily for her, they all had four children like I do, so she has tons of grandchildren. So we paid her back in what she feels is the most valuable commodity in the world. And fortunately, genetically, they passed a generation, so the grandkids are even better than her kids. We're kind of obsolete to her, if you can understand that. But people ask me, why and how can a single woman in Akron, Ohio have such successful children? And I tell them there's two things as a parent that she did that I highly recommend, and I followed both of them. One is she woke us up really early. So her rule was no matter what, you had to be up at 5 a.m. every day, 7 days a week. That was it. That was the one rule, because she figured that if you were up every single day at 5 a.m., you could not stay awake to get into enough trouble. So in high school, I tried, and I was always the kid on the couch while everybody was drinking and doing drugs that they would write, you know, four-letter words on my forehead because I'm sleeping in the middle of a party, trying to be cool. And I married my wife, who I met in the fourth grade, and she reminds me, because she hated me when I was young, that I was not cool. She goes, "You realize what a dork you were?" I'm like, no, I was super cool. I played football. But I lived in this world of not enough. And so people who live in the world of not enough, you're constantly looking at what other people have, what you don't have, and what's missing. And no matter what you get or what you have, you're still a victim all the time. Things are happening to you. And I have a lot of friends in Newport Beach, and it's amazing because they're self-made people who live in these $40, $50 million homes, and I'm always commenting, you know, you live in a world of not enough. What do you mean? You're always looking at what you don't have, what's missing, and what other people have. In fact, I believe it's the biggest energy suck of social media, and for my children, between who I am and who I want people to think I am. And I'm trying to empower people to understand it's more important to be who you are than who you want people to think you are. And that's part of the world of scarcity. Well, I wanted to be rich, so money was more important to me than school. I wanted to buy my mom a house. It was really simple. I was super happy. I didn't even realize how poor I was until I went to college and started really seeing what rich kids had and did. But I wanted to be rich because my mom, the only time we weren't happy in my family is when something broke or we couldn't afford something. And I'm sure some of you have had that experience, what it feels like to, excuse me for choking up, but watch your mom cry because a car breaks down. And you see, I laugh because I still tell my mom, I'm 56 years old. I said, you know, mom, I still don't listen to you. It goes in one ear, out the other. But I've watched you for 56 years. And that's why I'm successful. I've watched you. And that's why I wanted to be rich. So initially, to be honest, I wanted to be a professional football player. And that obviously didn't work out for me for good reason. I did play college football, and that's where my career ended. I was the fastest one on my college football team, and so they put me as the bullet on the kickoff team my freshman year. I returned kicks and punts because I had a talent. I could run scared faster than anyone could angry. It's because I had a big mouth and a lot of brothers, and so I had a lot of practice in a small two-bedroom apartment getting away from them, so a big football field was a luxury for me. But I remember my freshman year lining up, thinking to myself, this is it. I'm gonna show everyone NFL, I'm gonna be a millionaire, gonna buy my mom a house. And so I fly down the field my very first kick. And sure enough, I get down there as the ball carrier gets the ball. And I lay into him with all 147 pounds that I had. And I remember, boom! Next thing I know, I was flying backwards. And the running back actually stepped on me and kept on running. I remember lying on my back thinking, doctor, lawyer, or failure. So I decided I better think of something else to do. Now, to my credit, that running back was a guy named Christian Okoye. His nickname, he was the AFC Player of the Year for the Chiefs. He was known as the Nigerian Nightmare. I ran the most notable sports agency in the world, and I used to joke with Christian. I still have nightmares about him. For good reason, because I still have the first autograph he ever gave anyone. I have the size 13 shoe on my chest, still imprinted from when he stepped on me. But I decided I might as well be a doctor. Since I can't be a football player, my oldest brother was a doctor. He was doing fairly well. And I thought, I might as well just be a doctor, make a lot of money, buy my mom a house. So I visited my brother in the hospital, and he looked at me and said, what's the matter, Dave? I said, I hate hospitals. He said, Dave, you're pre-med. God knows you're not gonna be a football player. You're gonna be a doctor. You hate hospitals. That's not gonna work for you. I was 18 years old, and I remember saying to him, yeah, but I don't wanna be a hospital doctor. I'm gonna be a sports doctor. I'm gonna be in locker rooms and sidelines. Besides calling me an idiot at 18, he said, and gave me the best advice. He said, David, you need to be more interested than interesting. And these Q&A sessions are in alignment with being more interested than interesting. And so I changed my trajectory, wanted to be a lawyer, ended up getting involved in the internet. And in 1995, 3 years after I took my first job in legal research online, we exited for $3.4 billion. Even though my mom told me the internet was a fad, it was the biggest mistake of my life. To be a real lawyer was gonna make me money. But I moved into another world called Just Enough For Me. I was an optimist. Everything was for me. Everything was in my favor. But everything was trading and negotiating in my life. Giving and receiving.
Imagine starting a small business. Your first customer. Your first hire. Your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast. As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me as someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings. I need clothes that not only look great, but also feel amazing. And these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook.
Anybody ever hear the statement, the more you give, the more you receive? Anybody believe that? I believe that. But it does not work financially for the nicest and kindest people. Have you noticed? Look at our vets, right? United States vets. Those guys give everything for us. They don't seem like they're financially receiving. My mom, single moms, they don't seem like they're on top of the financial world. What about the first responders, all our teachers, all of these super kind and nice people? How come they're not receiving financially? So I started doing research because of these Q&As, figuring out what am I missing? Why is that not true? The more you give, the more you receive financially. And what I realized through studying religion, philosophy, theories, and spirituality, that most texts read differently than the more you give, the more you receive. What it actually says is, the more you give, the more you're given. And that's different because it requires your accountability. It requires you to use gratitude and forgiveness in order to find the light, the love, and the lessons in all you're given. It requires you to be accountable for not being punished when things happen in your life, but to see the protection, promotion, and love by something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom, whatever you think that might be. And then I saw another problem in this idea, in this world of just enough, where you buy things you don't need to oppress people you don't like, constantly negotiating and trading. I was worth over $100 million in my 20s. I gave millions of dollars away, but I didn't do it unconditionally. You know, I thought the Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm, where he's like, I didn't know you could give millions of dollars anonymously and everybody would know. That was me. I want to make sure everybody knew there was some kind of trade. But what I realized is there's a third thing that's going wrong in this idea of abundance, in the infinite flow of the people that give more and receive less, is that most people don't like receiving. They either don't feel good about it, guilty about it, resentful about it. They don't feel worthy of it. My mom is still one of those people. She's 81 years old. She has given her life to her children, her community, Sunday school. She has given her life to everyone. But every time she gave, people would say, oh, let us do this for you, Karen. Let's do this for you. Oh, it's okay. No, we're good. Well, let's do the math together. If you're not good at receiving, number one, I don't think you have faith. I don't think you have faith. Because if you had faith that there's something bigger than you, an omniscient, all-powerful source, God, Jesus, Muhammad, I don't care, that loves you and protects you with more than enough of everything, why would you feel guilty, resentful, or not worthy of receiving it? Especially for the sake of receiving, meaning the more you receive, the more you can give. And so it's interesting how many people don't like to receive, and I want you to think about, while we're here today doing workshops and I'll do a keynote tonight, I really need to work on receiving. Because if I give 100% and continually take less, even if it's 99%, sooner or later I'm in a zero sum game. I end up with zero. And a lot of times the kindest, nicest, most generous people that are willing to give their lives, let alone everything financially to other people, end up with zero. Now, the final testament to faith to me, I believe it takes wisdom and faith to shorten the distance of resistance of scarcity creates in our life. It takes wisdom asking for help, finding and seeking the information of what we want in a divine direction so that our purpose is greater than our pain, so that things that happen that we don't understand or know or seems like punishment, we see as divine detours to take us to a better place. But if you really want to live in faith, if you want to live in the world of more than enough, then ask for more. If you believe there's more than enough of everything for everyone, that you're protected and promoted by an omniscient, all-powerful God, then ask for more. And then give more, be given more, receive more, then ask for more than more, then give more than more, receive, given more and more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more. You see where I'm going to end up at 81? With more than enough of everything for everyone. And I wish I would have learned this, because when I was 36 years old, worth more money than I ever dreamed of, married to my dream girl who hated me in the fourth grade, sixth grade, and 12th grade, and called me a dork, with three beautiful children, and she was pregnant with an unexpected at 42 with my son, I lost everything. Not because I lived as a victim in the world of not enough, because I was caught up in the world of just enough, trading and negotiating everything, giving more than I received, surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas, buying things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. And thank God I was married to my dream girl who saved my life, told me to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And so 17 years ago, almost 18 now, she changed my life, saved my life. And so my mission now is, I made more than enough back than I ever dreamed of, is to empower over 1,000 people, to empower 1,000 people, to empower 1,000 people, to teach them through abundance, through the infinite loop of giving and receiving and asking, so that you can empower 1,000 to empower 1,000 to change the world. My mission might sound big or outrageous or stupid. You can laugh at me, scoff at me, and make fun of me, but I'm on a mission 200 cities a year to change the world, to empower people to make a lot of money so they help a lot of people and they have a lot of fun, they're happy. Suicide should not be the fastest growing cause of death in America for all ages. It should not. So I've dedicated my life to being here, and I'll be in LA, I was in Chicago, in Boston, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to listen for how I can be of service or value to you. I'll be here all day. I get to do a keynote and talk to you tonight. A couple things I've learned, and then we'll get started with the questions. I have a $1,200 reminder every month not to write down everything. I have notes from college, law school, business school, all the different personal development events like this, and they're in banker's boxes in a storage unit in California, and it cost me $1,200 to remind me. Only write down the stuff that resonates with me and create a system to access it. And when I say resonate with you, if I say a quote or something that really makes you feel strongly, wow, that's like me. My favorite quote today is, you're either humble or you're about to be. And I wrote that down immediately, put it into my system. But I've also learned that if I hear something that makes me feel angry, upset, really resonates in disagreement, I also capture that and find out why. Why is it I can't appreciate the differences that exist between me and someone else's opinion, perspective? What is it that is separating us? And I find great value, especially today in the atmosphere of politics, religions, and world atrocities, that we're separating ourselves because we're not appreciating the differences. We're not the same. Thank God. You do not want a million David Meltzers walking around. So let's learn to appreciate the differences by capturing what resonates with us and seeking and learning from it and appreciating it through gratitude and forgiveness.